why do you want to learn a new language? Where would you use it and how would it come in handy? This is what I'm asking myself every single day. Even if I'm not planning on going on a trip where I need to use a new language, I'm just like, my brain needs to stay alive. My brain needs to stay active. And there's only so many crossword puzzles I can do in 1 week. And that's why I just feel like putting my mind to the test would just be using Rosetta Stone to improve my language skills.
And I'm always like idealizing. Oh, I want to learn Francais, so when I go to Francais, I can speak French with the person in
You go
France.
To Quebec.
But really, I'm speaking on a like dream level, which is also great. Use Rosetta Stone to learn the language of a place you're dreaming of visiting. But also, practically, it makes more sense for me to learn Spanish. And if I'm going to learn Spanish, I'm going to do it on Rosetta Stone.
That's amazing.
They've been the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users, and they have 25 languages offered. You have fast language acquisition because they immerse you in the language. There aren't English translations, so you really learn to speak, you listen, you think in the language with Rosetta Stone, and it has an intuitive process, so you pick up the language naturally. First words, then phrases, then sentences, which means it's designed for long-term retention. And the app has a true accent feature that gives you feedback on your pronunciation, like having a personal trainer for your accent. It's very helpful, okay?
That was good. That was good.
Thank you.
It's convenient. There's an amazing value. You can get a lifetime membership and just have every single language, all 25 languages you can have for your lifetime, and you can just work through them as long as you're alive. That's kind of an iconic goal to have. So don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Who Weekly listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/who. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/who today.
You will drain it. They want to know. Hey.
To be
welcome to Who Weekly, the podcast where you'll learn everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. I'm Bobby Finger.
I'm Lindsay Weber.
POP, protect our pop stars. Bebe Rexha, as we all know, was attacked at her New York City show. A fan threw a phone at her face and later said, after being arrested, didn't you see they were like a luxury dog groomer was their job? I was like, you can't come up with something like this.
I mean, they were baseline at a Bebe Rexha show. Like, they didn't go to throw a phone. They were there to like hear the songs and then like had a last minute idea to throw the phone.
And they said, I threw the phone up there so that she would take a photo with it, which is okay, whatever,
true.
Fine. I think that's trying to get a lesser sentence, you know, like when this person should be put away for life. This person should never see the sun again, you know, like that's how I feel. Anyway, Bebe went back to singing and said, no phones in the face, thank God. She's singing again, we love it. But meanwhile, Ava Max got hurt at her own show because a fan jumped on stage and slapped her. We need to stop doing this.
What is going on? Like, what is going on? Truly, what is
happening?
What is going on? Our Albanian pop stars cannot be treated like this. They will stop going on tour. Trust me. They're not like selling out arenas. They could stop going on tour.
They can't do this. Ava tweeted, he slapped me so hard that he scratched the inside of my eye. He's never coming to a show again. Thank you to the fans for being spectacular tonight in LA, though.
Punishing that slapper by saying they can't come to an Ava Max show again cannot be the solution. We do need more. We do need to do
look,
a little
if you're
more.
The type of person that jumps on stage and slaps Ava Max, the biggest punishment you could ever receive is being prohibited
kicked
from Ava
Max
Ava concerts Max
shows.
In the future.
Okay, that's true. I'm just worried about Dua and Rita.
I'm very worried. They're going to be fine. We need to up security at all these shows. Also, fans just need to be better behaved. Be better behaved.
Get out of here. Put your phones down. I'm so sick of phones at concerts. It really ruins the experience, and I don't want to hear anything to the contrary. I don't want to hear any replies.
I don't want to hear people be like, oh, you're elder millennial ass. Like, oh, get off my lawn, whatever. Yeah, get off my lawn. Take your phones
out. It's ugly. It's ugly. It's annoying. All of your footage is bad. I've seen it all on TikTok. You all suck at it. It's awful. I don't think I haven't seen in the past,
all of your footage is
in the past 5 years, I have not seen a good concert footage from any single civilian. Not once, not ever. And anytime you've shown it to me and I've said, wow, I'm lying. I've never seen a good one. I've never taken a good one. I've never seen a good one.
No. Oh, I've certainly never taken a good one. Every time I think about maybe taking some, as it's happening, like as I'm taking the photo or recording the clip, I'm like, why am I doing this? I'm never going to revisit this.
Why? I can't think of anything to make my concert experience worse than hold up a phone. Seriously.
You take a photo in the lobby, you take a photo in front of the marquee, and then you still get the sort of dopamine rush, the serotonin rush, a year ago, you were at this. You still get that memory. And guess what? Search Getty for images of the show. They'll
be on
Getty.
It's just a part of modern culture that I feel like hasn't had the backlash it properly deserves. Mm-hmm. And even when what's-her-face, Mitski, like, spoke out, mm-hmm. like, please,
I was
like,
trying to remember who it was.
Phones
it was
stressing
Mitski.
Me out. Remember there was some people that were like, I need this because I, like, forget the concert and have to watch it later. Mm-hmm. Stop it. Stop it.
Google.
Stop it.
Google the concert. There will be professional photos that you can see. I saw Kelsey Ballerini was photographed FaceTiming with Chase Stokes during a show. And I was like, this is so...
Isn't
coming
she
from
on
an
the
artist,
stage?
This is rude. No, she's like in the front row of like a Morgan Wallen or some other country ass concert. And she's FaceTiming Outer Banks star Chase Stokes during a show. So disrespectful. It's so disrespectful.
So disrespectful.
Coming from an artist herself.
Making a phone call? What's the point of this? So he can have a bad view too? So he can see it through the screen?
So he can have a bad view too. You're right about the footage. It's never been good. The footage has
never
been good.
And I'm sorry to reveal that I've been lying every time someone shows me a photo from a concert. I'm like, wow. Or a video.
Mm-hmm. There's better footage. I've seen better footage of UFOs than I have of concerts. You
know,
like.
Oh my God. Honestly, that's so accurate. That's so true. That's so true.
People are much better at taking photos of UAPs than they are like BB Rexa at a New York City show.
Sports games, people aren't leaving up their phones the whole time. The straight men that attend these sports games don't hold up their phones the entire time.
No.
What are we missing from? Why are they not doing that?
I feel like we're starting to really veer off into a tangent that we can't go down right now.
I just hate it. It annoys me. I know we sound elderly, but I do feel like it's time for it to come back around. I do think that like generation COVID is going to be like no phones at concerts. We hate this.
It really needs to be the no phone zone. Okay, you are listening to Who's There. In case you forgot, this is a podcast about celebrities. You are listening to Who's There, our podcast, our weekly podcast where we take your questions, comments, and concerns at 619-WHO-THEM. Let's take some comments.
Lindsay and Bobby, I had to pause the pod. You didn't say who did the gay wrong. I do not remember who's on Stars on Mars, and I'm not going to look it up, but who did the gay wrong? Thank you. Crunch Brunch.
I do feel like you could have Googled, like, Stars on Mars gay guy,
okay,
and you would have gotten your
don't
answer.
Listen, Lindsay, do not tell our audience about Google. This is the secret to our show success is no one Googles.
You're so right. The secret to our show success is that Google doesn't exist. Only we are allowed to Google.
Is that people call 619 Who Them and say, who is Taylor Page?
Right.
And then they wait. And they wait. And then they listen to us. You know, that's how this show works. Don't tell them about Google.
You know what's great about that? That is very no phones at concerts. Like, we're taking it back. It's like, oh, you want like a spoon from the store? Well, guess what? Get off your ass. You're going to have to go buy one. Amazon doesn't exist. You can't Google it. Oh, you want to know what the best, oven mitt is?
Store.
You're going to have to try three of them. I know. I'm just saying, like, okay. we are the podcast answer to new technology. Mm-hmm. You don't get to Google. You don't get to IMDb. Mm-hmm. Who is that in the movie? Guess what? You're going to have to sit on it. You're going to have to sit with it.
You're going to have to watch the trailer for Challengers and say, I don't know who these men are. I'll find out in October. You know, like.
Yeah. No, it's beautiful.
It's beautiful. Adam Rippon.
Was
the 25 things.
And even now in retrospect, I'm like, what was so wrong about this?
What was wrong about it? We needed a gay wrong. That's what it was.
It's okay.
We needed a gay wrong.
No, it works. The
gay wrong was, as Timmy was saying, or you were saying, I don't remember who wrote this in the doc, but it was an obsession with voiciness and comedy as opposed to just like authenticity in the 25 things. We want authenticity.
Okay,
we don't want
a little
meta.
Okay? Sure, yeah.
That was the gay wrong.
There are really no gay wrongs during Pride, so it's really just to fit in our
I've seen a couple. I have seen a couple, and I can say that.
Well, as an ally...
You're not allowed to say there are gay wrongs during Pride. I can say that.
No. There really haven't been. I haven't seen one. I haven't seen one yet.
I think I find it so heartening and supportive that you said that. But I'm also going to say that you're wrong.
I've I haven't seen one.
I'm also going to say you're wrong. Oh, please.
I'm just saying. I haven't seen one yet.
We could turn off this microphone and I could give you plenty, but we're not going to do that.
That's why we still have a podcast, because you're not going to do that.
Hi, Lindsay, Bobby. I had to pause the pod because Bobby said he saw Paul Dano and Zoe Kravitz in a coffee shop. I need to know. Did Bobby mean Zoe Kazan, or was it actually Zoe Kravitz? And then you're saying that Paul Dano and Zoe Kravitz are BFFs following both being in the Batman trailer. Please confirm, or this will bother me for the rest of my life. Crunch, crunch. Thanks.
I do love the idea of Paul Dano hanging out with a different Zoe that's not his wife.
Zoe K. Two Zoe Ks. That's who he's attracted to. He's drawn to Zoe
Only
K's.
Zoe K's. The fact that we have two Zoe K's mm-hmm. that like trounce around Brooklyn with their boyfriends.
Do husbands, you think he's husband, attracted boyfriend. to the name and acronym combination Zoe K, or do you think he's attracted to sharing DNA with someone who named names?
Oh my God. Wait, are you saying Lenny Kravitz named names?
Lenny Kravitz would never name names. Are you kidding?
I know it's
true.
Lisa Bonet would
never name names. Are you kidding? Neither of those people would ever name names.
Okay, Timmy did point out that Zoe Kravitz and Paul Dano were in the Batman together, so they like could ostensibly hang out, which I didn't even put together. That's very a game we haven't played in 100 years.
Right,
I don't know her game.
Right.
Remember that game?
That was kind of a fun game. We should do that on the tour.
Bring that for the tour. Yeah, we should bring that back.
It's fun. I like that Batman. I mean, I know it made a lot of money, but I feel like people were kind of hard on that Batman. I thought Robert Pattinson was great. I had a good time with that Batman.
I don't think I watched it. I don't know if I watched it. I don't remember anything.
Sometimes I think you turn things on and then stop paying attention 5 minutes in, and then you're like, and then you're just like, I didn't like it, but really it's just that you lost interest and and it kept playing as white noise in the background of your life.
I'm a very busy person, and you know, I watched all. No. I watched every second of Mama Mafia, though, this weekend. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I know. You were live texting.
Every second of that movie I inhaled.
Mafia Mama.
I watched it. Mafia
Mama. Mafia.
Which was shockingly a movie about
murder.
Toni Collette trying to get fucked in Italy. You'd think it would be about something else, but really it was just about her trying to get fucked in Italy.
Like in a sexual way. Not like fucked over. Okay.
Like actual. No. Like literally fucked.
Right.
Actually have sex in Italy. There's a scene in the movie where a bunch of women scream, eat, pray, fuck.
Pray. Fuck.
Say it again.
Eat, pray, fuck.
Louder.
From the vagina.
Eat, pray, fuck.
Eat, pray, fuck.
Eat, pray, fuck.
And I saw Zoe Kazan and Paul Dano at the coffee shop.
Yeah, and so has everyone who lived in Brooklyn.
When she walked in, I crossed my arms like Ed Harris and Amy Madigan at those Oscars. I was like,
get out of here. It's not her fault. Not her fault.
I know it's not her fault. I just find it interesting.
She has generational trauma, okay?
I just find it interesting. I know we shouldn't blame Zoe Kazan for the sins of her grandfather, but it's wild to me. Change your name.
But have you seen Trumbo? You know who hasn't seen Trumbo? Me, because I turned it off. It was so boring.
I was going to say. I don't need to see Trumbo to know about Elia Kazan.
Okay, but I'm just saying, like, another movie I turned on and turned off, Trumbo. But I know what it's about.
Have you seen The Crucible?
Yeah, I've seen it in high school.
I've definitely told you about my insane theater teacher in high school who did a production of The Crucible set during the McCarthy trials.
Yeah, I'm obsessed with it.
The funniest thing he ever did.
Is how you learned about the McCarthy trials, which is even funnier because now every time you think of the McCarthy trials, you think of The Crucible.
Yeah. Some guy
like permanently set that in hell for you.
Some guy in a fedora screaming at a girlie in my high school going, "Tell us the truth, Tituba."
Tituba.
He didn't change any names. This guy was a...
But you know who would... I wonder if he still has that adaptation somewhere, because you knew who would star in that. Zoe Kazan.
Zoe Kazan.
Right?
To be fair, I think I've told this in the podcast. He was trying to teach a lesson about allegory. And he was like, it was like, what happens when you strip something of allegory and you do it straight? Like he had sort of like a deranged point.
Are you kidding?
It would win a Tony.
If it was on Broadway, it would win a Tony.
It would win a Tony.
That's an Obie Award winner right there. Trust me. I don't have any doubt.
Okay.
Okay.
We have to move on.
Spruiked means to promote something. She could have made a monologue, but she was just promoting. Like, oh, she's going to spruik her boots. Means she's going to promote them or show where she got them from. All right. I love you guys. Bye.
That word is spruiking. Spruiking. Spruiking.
Spruiking.
We were overthinking.
Spruiking.
Yes. And I also, and someone else called, I'm not sure which ones you'll play, but someone else called and was like, the American version of this slang is shilling. And I was like, oh, duh, that makes so much sense. Shilling,
yeah, no.
Spruiking. Shilling.
Spruiking is better. Spruiking.
Well, you know, grass is always greener. I saw this call downloaded. I think Timmy downloaded this. And I was like,
but the grass is greener there in Australia. It's nicer.
Well, sometimes. When it's not, when the grass isn't on fire,
no,
it's
it
greener.
Is. Oh, okay, well, we have fires.
We have fires, too. We do have fires.
Lindsay, Bobby, I am begging you, pleading you, please do not talk about the submarine Titanic today. No, it's like a huge story, and it's Titanic-related, and weirdly somehow Blink-182 Kardashian-related. But please do not talk about it. It stresses me out so much just thinking about what's going on. And I just can't. Okay. Please, just please, for my own mental health. Please. Okay. Avia Tiangan, Crunch Crunch. Bye.
Okay.
Okay.
Hi, Lindsay, Bobby, Tinny. Hopefully you can discuss this Daily Mail headline. Australian actress Melissa George enjoys summer in France over a decade after saying she'd rather enjoy a croissant in Paris than talk about Home and Away again. I feel there's a lot there, and I would love your take. Crunch, crunch, Lindsay Podcaster.
This is like Australia's like Schittsburg.
That's exactly what it is.
I immediately thought of Schittsburg, which was said by what, Sienna Miller?
Sienna Miller.
I always think someone else says it, but Miller said Schittsburg.
Do you think like Naomi Watts said it? Who do you confuse her with?
Whatever. I don't know. Someone else. So one time on the set of something that she filmed in Pittsburgh, Sienna Miller called Pittsburgh Schittsburg.
The Mysteries of Pittsburgh.
Up until this moment, this has been the relatively normal getting to know you chit chat. If you tell me something that you've never said out loud to anyone before, then this moment becomes unique.
I'm not sure I have one.
Of course you do.
They never forgot it. I mean, I never forgot it. But, like, it was this huge deal. They were like, get out of our state. Get out of our city. Like, and then she had to apologize for calling it Schittsburg. This is, like, the Australian version of that, right?
Pittsburgh didn't realize that was, like, one of the best things to ever happen to it. Like, Sienna Miller made a joke about your city. That's iconic. That's what you want.
That is the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life. So the Daily Mail Australia is essentially like a person from Pittsburgh who won't let Sienna Miller forget that one time she called Pittsburgh Schittsburg.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Australian actress Melissa George enjoys summer in France over a decade after saying she'd rather enjoy a croissant in Paris than talk about Home Away ever again.
That's the soap opera. So this story, I didn't know anything about this. So this soap opera is very, it's a long-running soap opera in Australia. That's how she got her
like
start,
Neighbors.
Melissa George. Yes.
Yeah, it's like Neighbors Days of Our Lives. She played a character named Angel Parrish, who was a very, very popular character and part of like a couple that everybody was obsessed with. Mm-hmm. She was with Shane. Shane and Angel. Shane and Angel!
We started going out together and I thought we were being really careful, but somehow we slipped up. And I got pregnant.
Well, that's some slip up.
Yeah, I know. Mum was horrified. I just couldn't believe I made a mistake like that.
And she was only on the show. I mean, I know soap operas release like a billion episodes a year, but she was only on the show for a few years. And that's
and
how big the
fair,
show was. It made her huge.
She definitely has done a ton of work since and even crossed over into the American market and done a ton of work there. Like she's in like, she's on like the Mosquito Coast on Apple TV Plus, whatever the fuck that is. She's like done a lot of things.
The Justin Theroux show on, I mean, no one knows what any Apple TV Plus show is.
But she starred in The Slap, the remake, one of my faves. And she, you know, she's been on a lot of stuff.
Her kid got slapped. Her kid got slapped in the slap.
Oh, trust me. I'll never forget.
So, years ago, over 10 years ago, she did an interview with my favorite news outlet because its acronym is SMH. So, she did an interview with the Sydney Morning Herald. So this, you had mentioned that like you couldn't find the clip. The Daily Mail, I believe, misappropriated this and said it came from like a recorded interview, it was just an interview that was done over the phone for a newspaper article. So like that's why there's no audio of it. They fucked up and said that there was like footage. There isn't. So she did an interview with the Sydney Morning Herald. And in that interview, which got the headline, Just Don't Call Me Angel, and it was written by Christine Sams, who went on to regret the interview, which we'll get into in a second.
Oh my God, remember that?
Remember that song? Oh yeah.
From Charlie's Angels 2?
I actually thought that song was great. And I don't know what to tell you.
It's like three separate songs.
I don't know what to tell you. That song was good.
Okay.
Don't call me angel. Remember Lana's verse where Lana like walked in the door, did a thing, and then like song? Left. I appreciate the way you watch me. I can't let it drop it down. I pick it up, I back it up. Cook County line, I fell from heaven. Now I'm living like a different incredible
song. Okay.
What a great song. So,
in this interview, Don't Call Me Angel, she sang Don't Call Me Angel. She said it before Charlie's Angels 2 even with a twinkle in Elizabeth Banks's eye.
And so after becoming famous on this Home and Away show, she marries this like French billionaire, moves to France, moves on to the next stage of her career. Like Lindsay says, does some stuff in the United States. At one point I found this funny line where she was in September 2008, George joined the cast of Grey's Anatomy for 11 episodes as Sadie Harris, a bisexual intern. Okay, whatever. So she's like still working. But she says that she's sick of her Home and Away notoriety because people are constantly calling her Angel, and she says that it's annoying. So in this story, she's talking about Sydney, but then she goes, okay, so
have to read it because it is kind of rude for like, it's like the way that she words it is so poor.
Yes.
You know, like she could have said this a better way. You know, this is a character I played a million years ago. I was a teenager. It was a hard time for me. I was still young. It's hard for me to look at these scenes and I don't really remember anything about them. Mm-hmm. Like you could have said like a number of things. There's so many child stars that have done this successfully. This is how not to do it.
Exactly. So she goes, I love the city so much and I want to come home a lot. She's talking about Sydney. But the stress that this has created in me is not worthy of my health. I think it will be the last time I visit and work here for a while, to be honest, because I just get too upset coming home. I don't need credibility from my country anymore. I just need them all to be quiet. If they have nothing intelligent to say, please don't speak to me anymore. I'd rather be having a croissant and a little espresso in Paris or walking my French bulldog in New York City. I've got to be honest.
She screamed Schittsburg.
Oh, and she was dating a French millionaire, not a billionaire. Also, she alleged that he like abused her and assaulted her, so he sucks. Anyway, I've got to be honest. I'm not going to be a good Aussie anymore. I'm going to speak out. I've just had it. It's disgusting. The Australians were so pissed at this woman for years, and they still are, and they will take any excuse to bring it up in a story, including this headline from a couple of days ago. Australian actress Melissa George enjoys summer in France over a decade after saying she'd rather enjoy a croissant in Paris than talk about Home and Away again.
But to be fair, that headline does speak to the fact that she made her fantasy a reality. She said, I'd rather be eating croissants in France, and she's in France. In the article, they say she's spending the summer in France where she permanently resides now, which is, I don't understand how you can spend the summer place where you actually physically live full time, but that's not my article that I wrote.
It's like how I say, like, I like to summer in Brooklyn.
Right. It's like, yeah, bitch, you also winter there.
So that's where she is.
So she said, honestly, she said Schittsburg louder than Sienna said Schittsburg. She literally said, I don't need you anymore. And she's from there. It's not like Sienna Miller's from Pittsburgh, mm-hmm. and she offended them.
Right. So people were so mean to her after this. They were so mean to her. She apologized. She cried. I think people were really nasty to her in those years that ensued.
She gave a tearful interview to Channel 7 Sunday nights despite previous meltdowns. She apologized. She kind of went through the ringer for this.
Yes.
But you know what? I guess they stopped talking about home and away.
No, they still bring it up. You think that Australians weren't even more emboldened to be like, hey, Angel.
I know, but then she like, maybe it encouraged her and like motivated her to go abroad and play a bisexual intern on Grey's Anatomy. You know what I mean? Maybe she wouldn't have done that if she wasn't like terrified of going to Sydney.
She'd already been a bisexual intern.
Oh.
It may have emboldened her to work with Justin Theroux on The Mosquito Coast, an Apple TV Plus original that apparently people know about.
What is it about? Mosquitoes?
No, it's about like I've seen the Harrison Ford movie. It's about like a kooky American dad who like moves his family to like a remote location in another part of the world. And I don't know where the Mosquito Coast is. I think South America, maybe an island.
Okay.
The family's like, "Dad, why'd you do it?" And that's what I know about the Mosquito Coast.
And I had to learn to be a burlesque dancer, you know, like the finale. You'll see the opening scene of the movie. It's difficult to be a burlesque dancer. It's not
on roller skates.
On roller skates, yes.
They're like Xanadu.
Yeah, they're very, very fit.
Mm.
Did you have to do much work to prepare?
Well, I was a skating champion way back in the day,
right.
So I didn't have to prepare too much for that. But being a burlesque dancer on roller skates, that's a whole other twist.
You were a speed skater, weren't you?
No, I didn't think so. Artistic.
Springtime vibes are in the air, and when I bring in some beautiful flowers that are blooming, I want to smell them, not the litter box. And I can, thanks to Pretty Litter. I'm going to correct this ad because I didn't bring any flowers in, but you know what I did cook yesterday? A big pot of beans. It smelled delicious in my apartment. It smelled like all the yummy stuff I was cooking, and it didn't smell like cat poo-poo or cat pee-pee because I used Pretty Litter.
You're saying springtime vibes are in the air, and when I cook a big pot of beans, I want to smell them, not the litter box.
I'd rather smell beans than flour. I'm trying to personalize
it. I don't think Pretty Litter would mind you correcting their intro with your own personal endorsement, which is that you want to smell your beans.
Yes. Delicious, fragrant beans with bay leaves and garlic and onion. This is all to say that nothing beats Pretty Litter's ability to instantly trap odor. It's ultra-absorbent, it's lightweight, it's low dust, and 1 6-pound bag works for up to a month. So I know that when people come over to my apartment, they're going to be smelling whatever I'm cooking, whatever's in the air, you know, like whatever candle I lit. They're not going to smell what's in the litter box because it soaks it all up. Plus, the crystals change color to indicate early signs of potential illness in my cat, like UTIs, kidney issues, and more. So when the colors change, you can tell your vet what happened so they know what to look for. And if that wasn't enough, Pretty Litter ships free right to my door. I never run out. I don't have kitty litter bags taking up a lot of space in my little apartment. Go to prettylitter.com/who to save 20% on your first order and get a free cat toy. That's prettylitter.com/who to save 20% on your first order and get a free cat toy. Prettylitter.com/who. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details. Lindsay, what is Rakuten? Tell everyone. I have Rakuten. I'm looking at it right now in my browser, but explain. You're good at explaining what Rakuten is because you love it.
It's the smartest way to save money when you shop. Duh. No, it's. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what it is. But I'm not really telling you what it is. That's what it does. It knows where you're shopping. It says, here's how to save money. It gives you cash back for all types of stores because Rakuten is the smartest way to save money when you shop because members get cash back at over 3,500 stores across every category, including fashion, beauty, electronics, home essentials, travel, dining, and more.
Your favorite stores like Dyson, Samsung, or Nike pay Rakuten a commission for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the commission with its members. That's you. Cashback is deposited directly into your PayPal account, or Rakuten can send you a check. The choice is yours. Lindsay likes the PayPal account. I'm sort of into a paper check. I like that idea. You can even maximize your savings by stacking cashback on top of other deals like store sales and coupons. So shop for everything from fashion to beauty, home decor to groceries, even kids' school supplies. You're already shopping at your favorite stores, so why not save while you're doing it? It's a no-brainer, and membership is free and easy to sign up.
Get the Rakuten app now and join the 17 million members who are already saving. Cashback rates change daily. See Rakuten.com for details. That's Rakuten. Your cashback really adds up.
Hi, Lindsay Bobby. I'm calling because Taylor Page is arguing about cows on her Instagram, and it's really funny to me, and she just really loves bone broth. I just wanted to let you guys know in case you hadn't seen it because it made me laugh very hard.
I don't want to make any assumptions about anyone's recreational drug use. And I did search to see if like Taylor Page has ever talked about being sober. She hasn't, because I do want to be sensitive. But as someone who is known to take a gummy every now and then. This is giving stoned behavior. This is giving peak stoned behavior. Like, I just turned on, I think you should leave stoned behavior, and you Google something and you cannot stop laughing.
I don't think you have to be a stoner to recognize this as stoned behavior.
This is gummy behavior, and it's so, even down to the edited disclaimer,
like,
that she added.
I took a 10 mg like 20 minutes ago, and I'm waiting for it to kick in, and I didn't realize it kicked in.
I didn't realize I accidentally took 20 oops. You know,
and like, Mama Mafia is on in the background, and I just can't pay attention, but I'm like trying to transition into bedtime.
So Taylor Page, I mean, best known at this point for
Zola,
the VH1 show Hit the Floor that she was on, and
Sharp Stick.
She is kind of like on the come up, and dated Jesse Williams, and then they broke up, and then she married someone else, which we'll get into in just a second.
Thank God she broke up with him.
I know. People love Taylor Page. She's definitely on the come up. She's about to be in the new It prequel show on Max.
She kind of had a fashion moment too. She's like doing, she has like a good stylist.
Yes.
So you're saying her next, the thing that she's following Zola up with really in the public eye is the It prequel.
Well, I also think that the pandemic sort of, I think like a lot of actors, a lot of rising stars, the pandemic really,
because it did feel like she kind of fell off for a sec, but it was pandemic related.
Zola was
not
huge.
Her fault.
And the thing is, even if you watch Zola and you were sort of really like about it, she's amazing in Zola. Like, she is completely magnetic in Zola. She is working on stuff. She is doing stuff. But she's also on Instagram posting a carousel of 10 photos. 10 photos of beautiful cows with this very long caption that I have to read in full last week. And it says, "I just want to declare my love and appreciation for cows. Please, PETA, don't come for me. This is genuine. They fed so many people, even our pets. Ground beef. That's my favorite part. Milk, beef, ground beef, bone broth, etc. I'm healing some major gut issues right now because I have major hormone imbalance, and I'm starting my days with bone broth. And it dawns on me how sacred and giving this animal is. Every bag you carry is a cow. Shoes, belts, the seats in your car. I'm not saying don't eat them. I'm just saying give thanks.
Yeah,
at the very least, say thank you, God. This was a life that lived. For real, heart. Also, aren't they so beautiful? So that's all the caption said. Then I noticed it said edited.
This
because
is dangerous.
Apparently
this
people
is a dangerous.
Her,
this is
do
a dangerous.
Talk, don't talk
this
about
this is
me.
Like getting stoned and texting someone don't, something. It's don't, like, don't do that.
Don't say PETA. If you have to say the word PETA in your Instagram caption, take the caption back. Okay, so edited disclaimer. She added this. Wrote, edited disclaimer. I didn't say consume them. I didn't tell anyone what to do. I just declared my appreciation for this beautiful animal that has arguably sustained unappreciative, trash-ass, selfish mankind and our pets. And to take notice in all the ways a cow is currently probably most likely contributing to your life, and you are not even conscious of it. Anyway.
I gotta say, it's such a lose-lose to be posting, like, a tribute to cows. I can't. Just...
To me, it's a win. Like, this is one of the funniest things.
A carousel of just photos of cows that, like, she found online.
I found all of these photos in a Google image search for various queries, like cute cow, fluffy cow, cow friends,
cow's
cow
friends,
tongue,
cutest cow
sweet
ever,
cow, cutest
fluffy
cow ever.
Cows,
so I was sort
cows.
Of like,
I love cows.
So I was sort of like, I was trying to put myself in a position where I took like too much gummy and was laughing at something completely absurd.
Wow, method.
And
you went method. You could have just taken a gummy.
And so I was sort of like, do you think there was one query that she used to find all these photos? Or do you think this is a lot of queries? And so I think the cutest cow got me most of these photos because there are 10. There are a full 10.
Uh-huh. She searched cute
but
cow.
Nothing got me all of them. She needed to search many, many different things to get this assortment of images, which is even funnier to me.
She was busy.
So after
then
that...
Then what?
She moved on to celery.
I can't.
The next photo in the grid is a photo of celery.
This feels very backlash to the backlash. You know, like, this feels very... I wanted to be earnest about cows, and my audience was not feeling it. They said, you know, if you love cows so much, don't eat them at all.
This is
don't drink their broth. Don't do anything. Leave them alone.
This is very like Jane Addams from The Idol. Like Hank Azaria from The Idol was like, Taylor, you have to search for a vegetable and put that on your grid now because you can't just have the cow thing.
That's true. The cow thing went up, and then all of her people were alerted via phone tree. And then they were like, Taylor,
Taylor.
Either Taylor, take it down or put up something about celery.
Any vegetable. And she was like, well, I do like celery. If you like the vegetable, write a post about it.
Okay, here we go. Celery.
Celery. It's only 4 photos, though.
Wait, but how much time in between the celery and the cow post were there? This says 6 days ago, but when did this? And then this one says...
Well, they both say 7 days ago.
Same day.
I think they were same days. It was literally hours.
Same day.
It was just hours.
Okay, same day. Here we go.
Okay.
I'd like to end the night declaring my love and appreciation for celery. Now, not too fast, you might say. It's plain and boring. But these guys can also really heal your gut. Your gut is essentially your brain. Our neurons from our gut are sending signals, and most of us have leaky, messy ones, knocking off our whole system. Ouch. Some of us are living so hazy and anxious we don't even realize what's up or down. Well, guess what? Celery juice. Hooray. They are full of anti-inflammatory and cancer-fighting properties. Celery has hydrochloric acid, which restores and helps heal the gut. It's a natural antibiotic and anti-parasitic. It can alleviate irritability, depression, anxiety, which seems like most of us have, and reduce high blood pressure and cholesterol. For people like me with PMDD or endometriosis and hormone stuff, celery is your girl. There is so much information available to us, and I am thankful for that. Yet everyone is an expert, and everyone is angry and becomes so overwhelming when you almost want to do nothing and lay down. What's she referring to there? The cow?
She's referring to the cow.
She literally did the cow post and had to like heal herself from that with the celery.
With the celery juice.
Well, celery you can have a bit of and then lay down. Before you come for me or mention it needs to be organic, it should be. But how unfortunate, because of money-hungry powers that be, the distinction of organic and non-organic is where most of us have to live, when really everything should be organic, but I digress. Or check for pesticides. Do your research and enjoy celery if you want to. I'm not a doctor, nor telling you what to do, nor tackling every single thing that is healthy for your body, mind, and spirit. God bless. Seems like you are actually listed. Seems like you are tackling all of these things.
Like, grid post 1, cows. I love cows. Grid post 2, celery. Actually, celery's good.
I love
grid
celery.
Post 3, Austin Powers really is a funny movie. It's still a really funny movie. I think that maybe people undervalue Austin Powers. But when you watch it again, it holds up. Really, really funny movie, Austin Powers.
But then she'd be like, also, laughter is good for your gut. And as somebody, look, somebody with a messy, messy gut.
Don't come for me. I know that it hasn't aged super well, but some of the jokes work, and comedy is forever or whatever.
It really hasn't aged well. The first one, maybe. The second one has not aged well, or the other ones have not aged well.
Two and three have not aged well. The first one still works. The first one still works.
Unlike celery, which is timeless.
So Taylor Page did that. She did that.
She did that.
I cannot get over this one line.
I can't believe the cows is still up. Yeah.
The cows is still up. No, I love that she doubled down. She was like, I'm not going to delete this. Where was the line that comes out of nowhere? There's so much information available to us all, and I am thankful for that. Yet everyone is an expert, and everyone is angry, and it becomes so overwhelming you almost want to do nothing and lay down.
I love that.
Well, celery can help with that. And then lay down.
And lay down. Yeah.
One of the top comments is Z-Way. And Z-Way just commented, love.
Shout out to this comment from Parker Hoosby that says, can't spell accelerate without celery 8.
Okay. Thank you for alerting us to that. Amazing. The comments on her
incredible
cow post.
Taylor, at least turn off the comments.
Taylor is brave for not turning off those comments. Brave. Okay. So before we move on, do you remember Taylor Page? Last time we talked about her. Yes. Remember when last time we talked about Taylor Page, it's because she got married to that random guy. Like, suddenly, because she was dating Jesse Williams, and people were like,
isn't his name like Rainbow Magic Man?
I was going to ask you if you remembered his name.
That's a game? Not really.
It's not Rainbow Magic Man, but it's Rivington Starchild, okay?
Okay,
Rivington
Starchild.
And so I made up a game that's all about celebrity weddings. My game is called Do You Remember the Husband?
No. Oh my God. No. This is so bad for me.
So this is all. Based on weddings that happened this year
in
calendar year 2023. Do you remember the husband?
Mason Morfitt.
No, we're not talking about Mason Morfitt.
Mason Morfitt!
I'm going to name a hooey person.
Whose husband is that? I already forgot. Georgiana Brewster.
I'm going to name a hooey person who got married in 2023. And I'm going to say, do you remember the husband? And if the answer is yes, you're going to name them. And if the answer is no, I'm going to give you multiple choice. Okay?
Okay, thank you. Mason Morfitt is the answer to every single one here.
Okay. Kate Bosworth, do you remember the husband?
Justin Long, yes.
Got it. You got it. Great. It starts easy and then it gets harder. Lucas Gage, do you remember the husband?
Yes. Chris Appleton.
Got it. Oh my God. Great. Okay. Andy Dorfman. Do you remember the husband?
Not on your life. Okay. Not with a gun to my head.
Is the husband Blaine Hart, Brecken Howard, Brogan Hightower, or Bill Hess? None of them are jokes. They just made up names. It's the right name and then made up names.
Brecken?
No, it's Blaine Hart. You did not remember the husband. Colton Underwood. Do you remember the husband?
Jordan?
You're almost there.
Jordan?
In a Princess and the Frog sense.
Jordan is close.
So you will get it based on these multiple choices because you remember the first name. Is it Adam C. White, William C. Gray, Peter C. Black, or Jordan C. Brown?
Jordan C. Brown.
You got it. Okay. Simone Biles. Do you remember the husband?
Yeah, he's famous too.
Well, then what's his name?
I don't know.
You don't remember the husband?
I'll know when you say it.
Yes, he's a football player. Is the husband Ronald Wright? Jonathan Owens?
Yes.
Yeah, it's Jonathan Owens. You got it right. Okay. How about this? Abigail Breslin. We're really going off the deep end here. Abigail Breslin. Do you remember the husband?
No.
Is it Ira Kianinski, Jay Kaminsky, Paul Kuznetsov, or Seth Kovacs?
Paul Kuznetsov.
No, it's Ira Kunyansky.
Okay.
Okay. Sophia Richie. So. Sophia Richie. Remember the husband? A week of headlines.
Yes.
Who's the husband?
He has a Jewish name.
Okay.
Ezra? No. Elliot? Elliot Grange.
Got it. Oh my God, you got it. Great. I don't even have to do the thing. Okay.
This isn't good, by the way.
Oh, whoops. I accidentally switched this and did, do you remember the wife here? But oops. Prince Ludwig of Bavaria. Do you remember the wife? That was an accident.
No.
Is it Phoebe Eckler, Greta Elliott, Sarah Edgerton, or Sophie Evigan?
The last one?
Yes, Sophie Evigan. Three more. Okay. Shane Dawson. Didn't even realize he got married. Do you remember the husband?
No.
Is it Vaughn Greer, Ryland Adams, Adrian?
That's it.
Ryland Adams. You got it. See, they come to you. When you see them, they come to you.
He's okay. Also a YouTuber, though. Like, yeah, I know who that is.
Two more. One of my favorite husband names. Sia. Do you remember the husband?
I'll know it when I hear it.
Is it Dan Bernad, Greg Carter, Hunter Clark, or Fred Allen?
Okay, I don't know. A?
Yes, Dan Bernard. And then finally, Dr. Anka Faur. Do you remember the husband?
Who's that?
Married a very, 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 very famous person. Do you remember the husband? Is it Neil Armstrong, Lance Armstrong, Jim Lovell, or Buzz Aldrin?
Buzz Aldrin.
Remember the husband. Okay, great.
I was like, you can't switch it.
Okay, let's move on. You did really well, actually. You did really well.
Good game. Remember the husband?
Remember the husband?
Mason Morfitt.
Okay. Hi, BLT. I have just seen a tweet talking about Kyle Richards and this girl named Morgan Wade. She's tagged in a lot of Kyle Richards' Instagram accounts or Instagram pictures. Who is she? And also, are they dating? Is Kyle going through a secret divorce? I don't know. As a lesbian myself, she is tagging this girl in a lot of pictures. But Mauricio and Kyle, iconic and best housewives marriages. So who knows? I don't know. Maybe just start with who is Morgan Wade. Thanks.
Let's start with who is Morgan Wade. This does not have to be a is she or is she not dating Morgan Wade? I don't think this even has to be that. But their friendship is interesting on its own, I will say.
Okay, but like this does combine
we've been G-flip
two of my favorite things, right, which is like the Chrishell G flip of it all, but also like housewives potentially getting divorces is also like a big housewives conversation. And I will say in the context of housewives, because their marriages are so much part of the show and like so many marriages have been broken up because of Housewives and reality TV. It's almost like you're waiting for the other shoe to drop. Therefore, right. like, these things are so much more conducive. But yes, like, we shouldn't speculate about anyone's, like, and sexuality in any way. I just think that, like, people are very interested in this because of yes. the context of Housewives.
And That's I all. Do think, and I do think we even were talking about the Tyler James Williams statement in the context of this and being yes. like, hey, have we learned anything from what he said? Where it's like, let's not no. speculate about someone's queerness. Let's not speculate about
no,
that.
No, we have.
Fine.
We have. But there is something incredibly funny that Kyle Richards, a.k.a. Kyle from Beverly Hills Housewives, who's related to Paris Hilton, all of that. If you don't know all of that, I'm just reminding you. Mm-hmm. He's being spotted with this random country singer who's less than half her age, who has tattoos, who isn't gay. And people are like, are they gay? Are they get together? And it's like, where's the this woman just has a neck tattoo, you know?
But the thing is, what I wanted to differentiate this from, and I know that it's a fine line, but the line exists. There is a difference between, I think, what Tyler was talking about and when you are a career reality star.
Yeah,
who knows yes. that speculation is part yes. of the game.
Whose life is on reality TV and whose entire personal life is like part of like what they make money to sell.
Because here's the thing. Because when this is your job and this is her job, work is work. This is all based on things that she is putting out there. And I think that even if they are not dating, even if like her and Mauricio's marriage is A-okay, or her and Mauricio's marriage just has like some like parameters and rules that we the public don't know about, whatever. She is doing this for attention. You know, like, she's doing this so that it's noticed and talked about because sure. it's a storyline. Yes. And so I think that if we talk about it in those terms, it's, I feel totally, like, ethically okay talking about it like that, you know?
I mean, I love any new country girly. So I guess this girly is, she is adjacent to, who's the, Jason Isabel. I guess mm-hmm. he, like, discovered her, kind of, basically. Yes. Like, his guitarist heard her play and then gave her a seat, whatever. So she's, like, up and coming in that way. And her whole thing is about her new album that she releases about being sober and about sobriety mm-hmm. and all of that. And I guess the story is that Kyle Richards literally like heard her album, loved it, and then quote unquote stalked her to like That's, make her her friend.
That is which is a very like straight out of Kyle's mouth. Shit. I stalked yeah. at Morgan Wade Music on IG after listening to her music while driving solo from Utah to Colorado while making hashtag Housewives of the North Pole. And today we met up in person for the first time. The most unlikely of friendships, some may think, but kinship knows no boundaries. And so she's been posting a lot of photos with this person. And I think that you mentioned the sobriety that because Morgan's releasing an album in August. So that's another thing to think about. So it's like maybe Morgan is willing to be open about this because she knows all press is good press. And if she's promoting
and
it on, that's cool.
Kyle Richards revealed she's 7 months sober in February of
this is giving sober buddy to me more than anything. I think more so than anything romantic. I'm seeing like platonic. We have this thing in common that's like monumental in a life, right? Like this huge life change. You need someone who's sure. going to support you and figure it out along with you. And if you like their music, if you like love their artistry, like I don't know. Like, to me, I think the sobriety thing makes any sort of speculation about a relationship between the two of them almost a non-issue because well, the sobriety thing like, makes so much sense.
This woman does give, she does give butch, she has tattoos, da da da. But then I'm Googling like Morgan Wade gay, Morgan Wade lesbian. And I'm like, I don't think that that's the case. So you're missing both ends. You're missing like, it's not just like G Flip and Grishel, like G Flip's like gay and Grishel wasn't. It's like both women are not gay.
Both of these women have only, to the best of my Googling, correct me if I'm wrong, publicly dated men.
Publicly dated men. It's just, I just am like, if we're actually going to like do some digging or actually going to whatever, I'm like, okay, like, sure, whatever.
Mm-hmm. You've got to play her yeah. Suspicious Minds cover. It's actually really, really good.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out. Because I love you too much, baby. Why can't you see what you're doing to me?
She's good. Like, these, think about these country girlies, they're all good. They're good.
They are good.
If you're
good.
An up-and-coming country girly,
you're good.
I use that in the broadest term possible. You're fucking good.
You're good. I forgot that I saw her because she was one of the girlies at the Alanis Morissette performance on the CMTs this year, which mm-hmm. was extremely random and honestly kind of weird. Mm-hmm. But she was, it was Alanis, Lainey Wilson, et cetera. And she was one of the et ceteras. Mm-hmm.
Vet bills can be expensive, but Spot Pet Insurance can give you up to 90% cash back on vet bills, so you can worry less about high vet bills. Yep, up to 90% cash back on vet bills for unexpected accidents, illness, and even routine care. And with Spot Pet Insurance plans, you can go to any vet you want in the U.S. or Canada. There's no network you need to stick to, so visit your favorite vet, and you can save money on expensive vet bills. That's Spot Pet Insurance. It's no wonder Spot is America's favorite pet insurance. Visit spotpet.com for a free quote today. For all terms, visit spotpetins.com/sample-policy. Spot Pet Insurance plans are underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produce Spot Pet Insurance Services, LLC. This is an independent ad from Spot Pet Insurance Services, LLC.
I have a question that is keeping me awake at night. Is the Snuggie, like the blanket with sleeves, is that a who or a them? Like, do people know what a Snuggie is? I feel like that was an important product in my adolescence. Please, please tell me.
You want to keep warm when you're feeling chilled, but you don't want to raise your heating bill. Blankets are okay, but they can slip and slide. And when you need to reach for something, your hands are trapped inside. Now, there's the Snuggie, the blanket that has sleeves. The Snuggie keeps you totally warm and gives you the freedom to use your hands. So now, you can work the remote or read a book in total warmth and comfort. Use your laptop without being cold, or enjoy a snack while staying snugly warm. Snuggie is made of ultra-soft, thick, luxurious fleece with oversized sleeves, so you can move your arms and use your hands.
Is the classic infomercial product, as seen on TV product, the Snuggie, a who or a them? Predated the Slanket, I believe.
That's so hard. Because it's like, as a concept, as an item, it's very 15 minutes of fame. Like, that's the mm-hmm. whole thing. Like, it went viral.
They rebranded and it was like a wearing thing. A robe backwards.
And then,
yeah.
Right. And then it was like, oh, it's a blanket, but it's also, it's a blanket with arms. So then you can, like, wear the blanket. So it's like, okay, but that image of the person at the in the Snuggie at work is very...
It's very funny.
But it's also very, like, permanent in my mind. But I mm-hmm. also feel like Snuggie, I think it's a who. I think it's a who in, like, essence and spirit, but also, like, I'm not sure, like, younger generations are, like, aware of Snuggie. It gives I love the 90s.
I still want to call it a them. I just think that the Snuggie became the Snuggie. I think then we're just going to have to disagree. I think the Snuggie is immortal at this point.
You think it's immortal?
I think the Snuggie is it. The Snuggie is one of the last gasps of like that sort of like viral TV product.
Because we don't really have like viral TV marketing anymore.
It's all like algorithmically designed Instagram ads. So like not everyone's seeing the exact same thing. The Snuggie everyone saw. Everyone was That's getting so inundated true. With Snuggie ads. I'm only seeing ads for like shorts because I was searching for shorts recently. You know, like I'm only seeing ads for fucking like kitchen spatulas. You know, like it's... Mm-hmm. We're all getting all this algorithmically designed stuff that I think that the age of the infomercial product is over. And everyone knows what a Snuggie is. So versatile. Wear it anywhere. And the four options they give are in bed while studying, and there's someone in bed studying with the Snuggie. In the kitchen, and there are two people drinking wine in the kitchen. Read a book outside, a person reading a book outside, and hang out with friends. It's three people outside on like their
it's
patio eating pretzels.
It's crazy that Snuggie happened before like work from home, you know, generation. Like mm-hmm. that is, oh, the, you know, true. I mean, that really could have like taken off again for a second time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like sweatpants. Sweatpants
so you're
really
saying
came back.
Them. Okay, interesting. And I'm saying
them.
Who?
I think I'm saying them. If you, unless you want to change. I don't
who.
Think I want to. I think I'm sticking with them. Okay, let's
I'm
disagree.
I'm sticking with who?
Hi, Lindsay, Bobby, Timmy. I was wondering if you could rank egg preparations cooking methods, I guess, from who to them. Because right now in my head, it's just like a four-way tie between scrambled, hard-boiled, sunny side, and over easy. I mean, I know soft boiled is also in the mix, and some people just say like a fried egg. So yeah, can you please rank the eggs for me? Crunch, crunch.
Do you have thoughts?
So my idea, my thought for this is that there are so many ways to cook eggs, obviously, but we should only be ranking the ways that, like, if you're at a diner,
yeah,
and they're
yes.
like, how do you want your eggs? We're only going to rank the ways that you could possibly get your eggs at the diner, mm-hmm. okay? So here you go. Here are the options.
Yeah.
Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Scrambled.
Mm-hmm.
Sunny side up.
Mm-hmm.
Over easy.
Mm-hmm.
Over medium.
Mm-hmm.
Over hard, which mm-hmm. is insane that there's three of them.
People do
hard
that.
Hard boiled.
Mm-hmm.
Hard boiled. Soft boiled, as in jammy.
Mm-hmm.
And poached. Yeah. And baked, as in casserole,
baked,
frittata.
Baked, you wouldn't necessarily do at a diner, know. But I think that's, I'll accept baked eggs. I'll accept it.
Because we're talking
it.
Quiche. We're talking a casserole.
We're talking
are important.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have all of these. We're going to go who to them.
Mm-hmm.
The whoiest way to cook your eggs, for me, in my mind. Mm-hmm. Ready?
Yeah.
Over hard. Who is ordering over hard? Sounds disgusting.
Someone who ordered pregnant people. Pregnant friend.
Well,
my pregnant friend
don't eat eggs then.
Well, my pregnant friend who's an over easy girly switched to over hard because she can't have runny yolks. Was at a diner with her while pregnant. She was like over hard. And I was like, who is this person? And she was like, I have to eat them over hard now.
Eat it hard boiled or something. Hard boiled and over hard, I guess, are like similar disgusting vibes.
Well, if it's hard boiled, you don't get the
fat. At least you can make egg salad.
But you don't get the butter and the oil, you know?
Okay. So over hard, I would say, is the hooiest.
For sure.
Then I would say over medium because
mm-hmm,
it's like,
sure.
who's ordering that? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Some diners won't do it.
Well, it's kind of two in the middle, you know?
Mm-hmm. I think they don't do it because they know they're going to get it wrong. I've been at a diner where someone ordered over medium and they said, we don't do that.
Okay, well then what's next? I would say what's next because it's kind of like
soft
trendy
boiled?
Is soft boiled
yeah.
because it's giving like Allison Roman jammy eggs.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know,
and
even though I know
like,
it's
how
like
to make
on
the
trend.
Perfect jammy egg, and it's like
7-minute okay. jammy eggs. Yeah,
we
right,
rebranded like, the soft boiled egg to
jammy.
Although I guess soft boiled is sort of like when British people eat them in the little thinky in the little cute little
sure.
things, and they crack them.
Sure,
that's
this
I think its own
regional.
Separate thing. No.
This isn't regional. This isn't
soft boiled next.
This is us.
And then you know
okay.
what's and then you know what's next. Baked.
What? Yeah, for sure.
People know what
because
a baked
you can't
is.
Really
if you're
order
at a brunch,
them.
It's a common menu item at like a brunch or breakfast place. Baked eggs.
Sure, but it's not like how we're ordering our eggs like on the go or no. like oh how do you want them or like oh we're like making breakfast. This is like has to be prepared for.
Mm-hmm.
It involves
you're not really making
it involves
that at home.
A
yeah.
it involves a door to so many other egg preparations mm-hmm. in terms mm-hmm. of baking eggs. I support baking eggs. I love quiche, but. That's
and now
next, okay?
we're moving into the top tier. We're
like
moving into
thems.
The
these
thems.
Are all really thems, but
tough.
I would say if I had to order them, I would say poached is next because it's annoying.
And sometimes people poached means steam. Sometimes poached means boiled. Like people poach eggs very differently. There's a lot of different ways
poached
to poach.
Poached is what I prefer. But also if you're like, oh, we're having breakfast and I'm in the kitchen cooking and you're like, can I have an egg poached? I'm like, go to hell. You know, I'm not doing that.
I'm not doing that
like,
for
you. Know, you. When like, you know, when they're like, the chef that poaches the eggs has gone home for the day. You can't have poached eggs. And you're like, wow, that's crazy, but sure.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll do them over
if
easy.
You ever want to okay. go if you ever want to go fully insane just like Google like how to poach eggs there will be 1 billion different people telling you 1 billion different things and they're gonna
know,
gaslight you into making you think that it's hard but it's not so
okay we only have three left and they are
hard boiled
over
easy
and sunny side up. I would say next would be
over easy
mm-hmm. Then I would say
hard boiled. Then I'd say sunny side up.
Then I would say sunny side up.
Sunny side up is the platonic ideal
classic.
Of an egg.
Classic, platonic, exactly. It's literally like if you're drawing an egg, you would draw that.
Yep. Like my mm-hmm. my nephews draw an egg.
What's
it's sunny
order?
Side up at a place, over easy or sunny side up because I want a runny yolk, and then I want to just like cut it up and mix it with anything else that's on my plate. Mm-hmm. For sure. What's yours? Yours is poached?
Poached, yeah. Because I'm usually getting an egg on like a pancake or something fun like that.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, we never did scrambled. Wait, scrambled is number one.
Scrambled is number two.
We did number two is scrambled,
you think? No, I'm going to say scrambled is number two. We forgot, but I think that Sunny Side Up still remains number one. So it's going to go like this.
I don't know.
Here's what it's going
to do. I think scrambled is themmiest. Themmiest is scrambled to me.
Really?
Yeah.
Sunny Side yeah. Up?
Yeah.
Really?
That's just like, because that's a foolproof egg. That's foolproof egg. I do. It's I can't believe we got scrambled.
No, but like the themmiest egg, like the most yeah. famous popular egg. Scrambled eggs
yeah,
aren't scrambled. Quite as photogenic, though. That's the thing.
Yeah, but that's what everyone's ordering. It's just scrambled eggs, scrambled eggs, scrambled eggs.
God, that's okay, it. I'll give you this one. We can agree on this one. So scrambled eggs is the themmiest, followed extremely closely by Sunny Side Up. So we're gonna rank these one more time.
I can't believe we forgot scrambled.
Over hard, over medium, soft, yeah. boiled, baked, yeah. poached. Then we yeah. go into over easy, Sunny Side Up, scrambled. Oh, I missed hard boiled.
Don't forget.
Hard boiled, oh. over easy, sunny side up, scrambled. Okay, great. We did it. That was great. The episode's over. Thank you for listening to another episode of Who's There, a weekly call-in show. Keep calling in at 619 who then leave questions, comments, and concerns. Thank you to Katie and Eric of The Who's for providing our Read It theme song on Tuesdays. Thank you to Timmy, our research and editorial assistant, for researching and editorializing. Support us on patreon.com/weekly for bonus episodes, a Discord server, commentary tracks, and more. Buy tickets to our live show at whoweekly.us/live, or you can just go to whoweekly.us and click the live banner, the live button. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. We love your ratings and reviewings, and we'll see you on Tuesday. Have a good weekend. Bye. Happy first day of summer. It's summer now. Bye.
Buy tickets to our tour.
Buy tickets to our tour.
Or
bye.
Else.
Yeah. Bye.
You or Jayla. Yeah. They want to know. Hey.
To be famous.
Hi, BLT. Long time. I was at the Ava Max show last night in LA, and some guy like jumped on the stage and slapped her. Apparently, I was there, but I literally did not see this happen so fast. Just like with the news of Bebe Rexha being hit with the phone, and then this happening. Do you think this is like a pattern amongst Who girlies? Like, this is bad. Like, I don't know what these people are doing. But it was a little bit shocking. Crunch friend.
I'm sorry. Long time listener, long time caller. I'm sorry, but Lindsay Singh of Via Tiangin is like Lindsay Podcaster just doing her ultimate Lindsay podcasting. I'm sorry. Obviously, this is a new sign off. Via Tiangin. Crunch, crunch. I'm still laughing. Okay. I'm sorry, pointed it out there. Like, no one was surprised. Like, none of my feet were surprised. I'm here to Yongin forever. Bye.
Hi, Lindsay Bobby. Long time. I just got back from a really long travel day, and my flight was delayed like 4 hours at the Charlotte airport, so of course I caught up on old episodes of Who Weekly that I had not listened to on vacation, and I want you to know that I was listening to the Baby Gronk segment at like 2 a.m. on a plane. We had terrible turbulence, and all I could think is I'm going to die listening to these TikTok audios about Baby Gronk, and I have no regrets. Thank you very much for your contribution to that situation. Also, obviously, I didn't die, and I clearly need more sleep. Crunch, crunch.